Welcome back to part two of our conversation with BART's Communications Department Manager, Alicia Trost. In part one, we discussed the how and the what. How BART communicates with its customers, focusing more on the preferred communication channel versus government's muscle memory. Think real-time social platforms instead of town hall after town hall. And what types of messages they build and incorporate into conversations in order to keep BART relatable. If you haven't listened to part one, I highly suggest you go back and check that out before continuing with us here. Today, we are looking at the big picture impact that has come from this work, how a small team is using the platform to do a hell of a lot more than just manage internet trolls, and the ways that this is strengthening the infrastructure, the backbone of the Bay Area.
We don't even have a dedicated social media person. It's our entire communication staff all have access, can all at any time reply to people. If they're hot on one topic, I want them to go handle it. Our team has even, people have maybe been either witness a crime or unfortunately a victim of a crime. Yeah. And they haven't even called police yet. And we see it and we will reach out to them to even sometimes convince them to call police. We've had cases of women that were groped. And they talked about it on social media, but they hadn't called police. And so we reach out to them to say, it's so important you tell us, because one, we have cameras everywhere and we will see who this person is and we will blast their picture everywhere. But two, it's really important that we have that data, you know, the crime data, so that we know what's going on. And so to play that role, to be able to reach out to someone who wasn't going to report something and convince them to report something is so meaningful. And actually not that long ago, we recently had the editor of, she uses one of the Mission Street stations. Yeah. She said she had gotten off the train and there were men at the top of the escalator just catcalling women and they were drunk. Ugh, and it was extremely offensive, but she didn't want to call police. She didn't want to escalate it. Yeah. And she did post on social media. She did not tag us. Somebody tagged us saying, what are you doing about this? So what I did is we right away replied, we called one of our transportation supervisors, not a police officer, and she's a woman, a total badass. She's like, I'll go up there and I'm going to put on my vest and I'm going to go up there and I'm going to tell these men to move along. And she did. And then she took a little picture of herself with the clear plaza and we tweeted that out. And then so people then was like, that was amazing. Like, you just handled this situation. You didn't involve police because it didn't really call for that yet.
Sure.
You got something actionable and you followed up on social media. And so it's even just things like that, like finding those opportunities. And instead of just ignoring the post, which a lot of people would do because they would be too nervous about what to say about something so controversial, finding a delicate way to handle it and then to follow it up and then to close it out. That type of meaningful stuff every day is, you know, it's so much more than marketing and communication when it reaches that level. And then the expectations there, though. So now what we see, if someone says something happened to them, we'll actually start getting people tagging us, BART, what are you doing about this? And so, you know, you always have to stay on top of your game, but it's very worth it.
That's where I imagine it's so rewarding to be able to go in and be able to impact some, not just their day-to-day, but impact their well-being, impact their livelihood.
Right.
No matter how big or how small, hopefully more small than big in most cases. But that's the kind of thing where it shows the investment in the community and it shows the responsibility that government has in a community.
Right.
And you guys are rising to that occasion.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of responsibility when it comes to government. Everything is with urgency, especially in a transit system, right? Because people are trying to get somewhere and they need to go, they need to be on time. They don't want to get fired. They don't want to pick up their kids late. And so that's why everything we do is with a sense of urgency, even on social media. We carry a lot of riders, 420,000 riders each day. We carry twice the amount under the water than the bridge does over the water from basically the East Bay, where a lot of people live, into San Francisco, where a lot of people work. The day-to-day budget is just from our BART riders. We don't get funding from the cities that we serve in the sense that we don't go to the governor or the mayor to say we need more budget funding.
You guys cover three counties, if I'm correct?
Yeah. We pay for our service through the fares that are purchased and then some property tax and sales tax money. Okay. Everything else we have to get somewhere else from. Like if we want to improve the service, build upon a service, build a new station, we have to go get the grant money. We have to find the money somewhere else.
Okay.
So the day-to-day budget is just from our BART riders. And people don't understand that. People don't get that because a lot of other subway systems don't work that way. They get money from the city they serve or the state. We don't have that revenue flow. And so it's really important that our riders are happy and keep using BART because we need their money to pay for the system. And we're very much struggling with a homeless crisis right now, an opioid epidemic. Crime rates are going up where I know because I've seen data from other areas, crime rates going down in other areas, but in the Bay Area, it's going up. And so we're dealing with all that as a transit system. When we have a problem like the homeless crisis, and we're not getting any extra money, and we don't have a division of social services, or we don't have a services agency, right? We don't have a crisis center we can send someone to, and so it's about building the relationships with the counties that do. But they're strapped, right? They're like, well, we have outreach teams, but they're busy in our communities doing their work, and we're begging them, can you send some to BART? And so it's a hard topic to talk about with riders because we also don't want to pass the buck. Like, oh, we don't have the funds and that's not our role. I mean, I can't say that to somebody. Right. I have to explain, well, this is what we're doing about it, or just find new ways to talk about it. Because it's important that our ridership know the situation we're in and what we're doing to help address it. But one thing we can do is if this person needs a welfare check, use those exact words, call in the police or use our free BART Watch app and say, someone needs a welfare check. They can't care for themselves. They're on this car. And so we've just given them a tool that then an officer can come out and check them out. And, and if they actually can't care for themselves, we actually do remove them from the train and go get them some help that they need. Or if they discover a situation that warrants a citation or removing you from the train. And so then I just gave them a tool, right? So I'm sharing with them, I'm acknowledging their frustration, and I'm sharing with them a tool of how to help. So we are every day answering tweets about these predicaments that we're in and what are we doing about it. And so it's not just about paying your fare, getting on a train and going somewhere. It's really about the Bay Area as a place to live and thrive and make money. So we have to take that role very serious. My goal when we started doing this engagement was to not just humanize our service, but to humanize our infrastructure. And that was because we needed to tell a story about our infrastructure. We're now 45 plus years old. All of our assets have reached the end of their useful life. We needed to pass a bond measure. We were going to be going to the ballot. And we just started to think, how do we explain this? Like in a way that people really understand.
And they were successful. Alicia's focus on building a level of understanding for the challenges that she outlined, as well as building advocacy and affinity for the mission, paid off, literally. Just after this effort began, BART had a huge bond on the ballot that was meant to fund upgrades to infrastructure that had reached the end of its usable life, and it passed with over 70% of the vote. Even more recently, FEMA awarded BART a $6.8 million grant to fund safety and security efforts, giving BART resources to address the quality of life issues that have been plaguing the community.
What are some of the successes? And I don't mean that you have to rattle off, you know, number after number after number off a spreadsheet, but what are some of the successes you've seen out of this?
Well, one, our engagement rate is through the roof, just the number of people tagging us, or when we do a post, the engagement from the post. And it's not always on topic, and that's okay. That's another thing people seem to like really have a hard time understanding. Well, it's not on topic, so we didn't respond. Well, why? You just missed a tremendous opportunity to have a really great conversation about a topic, no matter what it is. So we can see now that posts are getting better engagement. We can see there's more, obviously the number of followers just continues to grow. I'm just shocked at how many followers we get once a week. And it's fun to watch, especially when you look at, well, what did we do this week and why is it so high?
Yeah.
We are tracking the topics that people are talking about and how they change each week. We can measure the number of influencers that were talking about BART. These are people with really high following. We can see how many members of the media are talking about BART and then use that as we make decisions about the media and how we handle the media. What else? I'm a big fan of hiring people with a public relations background or maybe a former journalist who's just really good with their words and can handle those tough questions that you're getting. And then it's training them and making sure that they're experts at everything. And the only way to be experts at everything is to make sure they have access to the right people. And then telling them they're allowed to do it, you know, that they don't have to get permission, because then you're losing precious time. And that's what we take great pride in, that we trust our people on social. I allow them to tweet pretty much anything, any time of the day, because I know they've been given the info. I know they know where to go to get the info. I know that they're good with their words and that they can be witty when they want to be witty. And that's why I think our team is successful, is that just that perfect, you know, it's the people, process, and technology.
As you reflect on this experience overall, what do you think it represents for government as a whole?
It's finding a way to tell your story in a very effective, easy, low-cost way. It's worth the time because there are so many eyes on social media now. Everyone's a reporter now, right? And that's why it's so important you're talking to everyone. The government agencies know the importance about storytelling. I think that cat's out of the bag, they get it, that they should have a videographer and if they can and do the videos. But this is so much easier, effective, quicker, and way cheaper when you're taking content straight from your user, replying to them with great information, and sometimes maybe a little piece of video or picture, and how meaningful that is. And so it's just this idea of using content, user-driven content, to tell your story instead of pre-packaged, expensive storytelling methods or letting the media tell your story for you. It's just doing it, and doing it by baby steps. It's chipping away. It's really hard to change the direction of a ship. So instead of doing that, just take small wins, and then small wins turn into really large wins.
What advice would you give to other communications directors, other PIOs?
To start building a knowledge base and start workshopping your brand and your tone and what you want to be and what you don't want to be, so then that you're ready to jump in when it's time to really start engaging with people you actually have the right content to do so with. It's funny, it didn't happen overnight. And it was also overwhelming. Where do I start? And how do I set up the right platform to get the data I wanted? And it's funny because, and what we actually developed right when we got Social Studio, I ended up almost redoing it once we started playing with it more and more and seeing what the capabilities are. And then we really built it. So I'd say we played with it for 3 months.
Okay.
And then I really realized, actually, we should be searching it this way and I should be rearranging the data sets this way. And then we sort of rebuilt it. And then all of a sudden, when I started to get the content that I realized I wanted, once I realized it, that's when it really clicked. Like, these are the topics people are talking about. I know I've definitely honed in on how to make sure I've got the right topic profile set up, the right post label set up. And then I realized I can be using this to tell my story, the communications department story, to other departments and to the executives. And then not only that, I can be using it to sort of gently push back and nudge on the decisions that are being made. And then when you show that it's data-driven, people listen to you, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, wait, show me, and what do you have? Let me see that. And then people, when I show them the platform and how we've set it up, they are so impressed and they are so surprised we're getting this amount of information from social media. Because remember, think of it this way, before social media, just young people are doing it. Everyone's angry on it. It's pointless. It's not worth the time trying to talk to people on there because it's all trolls. And so what I'm doing is I'm showing them, well, that's fine if that's what you think, but let me show you what we can get out of it. And then let's make some decisions off of it. Let's actually change some of the way we do things to improve our service and better meet the expectations. Before, you know, we have these great surveys from our writers, but we're only looking at them like quarter by quarter. Mm-hmm. We have a really amazing in-depth every other year survey. And so I can get instant reaction from the public in 24 hours instead of waiting every other year. And then what's also good is do that gut check to make sure they're all sort of matching over time. And they do. So I'm here to tell you that they do, because we've now been using the tool long enough to know that it is matching some of the bigger trends.
To learn more about the engagement platform BART built, the strategy that surrounds it, or Alicia's playbook for making it all work, she wrote a step-by-step guide that outlines how to build a responsive government organization, Visit sfdc.co/BART. That's sfdc.co/BRAVO Alpha Romeo Tango. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for tuning into Our Digital Nation. To learn more about the trends and technology behind the discussion, visit us at salesforce.com/industries/government or follow us on Twitter at SalesforceGOV.
I understand that BART and Salesforce share some common roots.
Yes. Well, it is really through Bart Pettioff, our CEO. If you go down into the Embarcadero station, you will find there a plaque to Mark's grandfather.
Really?
Yes. Because he was a member of the city council.
Okay.
Or maybe his granduncle. I think it was his granduncle. Who was a member of the city council of San Francisco and then became the champion for what became BART.
Really?
And he was one of the driving forces for, you know, it took a big vote. You're too young to remember this, but the county, all the counties had to vote. And frankly, San Mateo and Santa Clara County voted no. That's why BART originally didn't go down there.
Huh.
And it was Alameda County, Contra Costa County that voted yes, and San Francisco County. And it was Mark's granduncle who actually drove that.
Huh. So being a community champion really runs in the family over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, absolutely.